loaded his truck with 2x4s while his dog was by his side. Big brown eyes and golden hair and a smile that called the sun. I wanted to spend my life with him.
PNP Network.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Joining us is Michelle Marie, who has a brand new album we were just listening to a minute ago called Garden Party, and it's great stuff.
Great. Thank you. I really enjoyed making it, I have to say.
Tell us a little bit about the making of the CD.
Well, you know, it was my second album, and I had such a wonderful response from the first album. You know, I started it basically as a hobby. I really didn't have any intentions of going forth as a singer, but the first album did so well, I decided to make a second album, and it's a little different than the first album, but we're just so excited about it. It's in all the stores now, and we just secured a major distribution deal through EMI, so we're just really, really excited about it. It's kind of alternative pop, alternative folk pop, if you will, with just a fusion of many different types of instruments. And, you know, some of the material is personal and introspective, and some of it is quite distant. So that's where we are with it.
There's a lot for everybody in here. And the first single, Crosby Street, is a nice tune.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, that was, I wrote that song when, a few years ago, I lived in Soho in Manhattan, and I had an artist in residency loft, and it was right off of, it was on Broome Street, but Crosby Street was one block over, and it was really fantastic because in the building it was just all of these artists, and we would meet at the Café L'Orange Bleu right around the corner, and that whole song is about that experience, you know, living there, so it's very personal to me.
Well, in the music that you write and that you perform, you paint some marvelous pictures, and I guess you also use a palette to do the same thing.
I do, yeah. You know, that's actually, you know, really what I do. I'm a painter. I lived in Paris for a few years and studied painting and came to New York really for that reason. And, you know, just having the roots of playing instruments. You know, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and music was very important in our household. So I was taught to play the piano along with various other instruments. And it was just very innate for me, you know, to sit down and to play the piano and to sing. It was just something I did every day. And I decided that, you know, perhaps I should take this one step further than just singing every day, you know, and having people close to me around listening to it, but really not doing anything with it. So really it was with the encouragement of my family and friends to make the first album. And I have to tell you, it was a tremendous experience. The growth was just unbelievable. I mean, there are so many elements involved when you're constructing an album. There's so many pieces that have to come together, and they have to come together simultaneously, as you know, or, you know, it'll be a catastrophe. But it was really rewarding, and that's actually what motivated me and propelled me to start my own label, you know, after I did the first album, and we were talking to other big houses. You know, I was thinking about maybe going with a larger house, and, you know, I just kind of got disenchanted with what they had to offer. So then I started my own label, Raison d'Etre Records, which is actually doing really well right now, too.
Well, Ani DeFranco is a friend of ours from way back, and she started her own label as well, and
she's
Righteous
great.
Babe is doing great.
She's so. Great. I mean, she's terrific. I love the way she sings. You know, her lyrics are very poetic, and the great thing about Ani DeFranco is that I think she aims directly to the emotions of the listeners. You know, she really brings you in on an emotional level. And I have a lot of respect for people, you know, who do that. I think Beth Orton is another example. You know, her style is different. She's more alternative folk. But I think she does that, too. And it's great. I think it's wonderful.
Another one named Cheryl Wheeler, who does the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, Suzanne Vega and Patty Griffin. You know, Suzanne Vega. And I really like Suzanne Vega. You know, she's been around for a long, long time. And she has a great following. I mean, she has a really, really loyal fan base. And I think it's because of her lyrics. And I think it's because she stays true to her form. You know, and she's actually very versatile, too, as a musician. I don't think a lot of people realize it, but as a musician, she's really versatile. I saw her in the Village a few years ago perform, and it was just her. And a lot of the songs that she sang were a cappella, and the range really wasn't significant, but the emotion was so strong, and the content of what she sang was so direct that, I mean, everybody in the room was just mouth agape, and, you know, nobody was sipping a cocktail. I mean, everybody was just focused in on her, and I think that's why she's done, you know, so well.
What made you choose the song Garden Party, Rick Nelson's old song, for?
I got to tell you, I was actually driving to the city, and the song came on the radio, and I always loved the song. But I'm telling you this moment because actually it was like 2 weeks later I said, okay, I want to do this song. I just love the song. It's, for me, it is something that, there's something about the song that I just love. And it's not one specific element. That's why I'm not saying, oh, Mark, it's this or it's this directly. It's the whole song, you know, as a piece. I know it was a very personal song to him. You know, it was about Madison Square Garden,
yes.
About how he had changed.
Right.
And so I know for him, it was very personal. And I think it's hard sometimes when you do somebody else's material, especially when it's personal to them. But I just love the song. I love the tones. I love the smoothness of the song, just how it all comes together.
Well, the changing, the arranging that you did, is this your own arrangement?
I did. I came up with the arrangement myself.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to stray too far from, you know, what he had created. I wanted to keep the song intact and keep the integrity of what he made, but I did want to put my own little signature, you know, on the song. He's another great lyricist, I thought. You know, I thought he was a great performer in his time.
In that particular one, he certainly was. I mean, that's,
yeah, he was.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the big acts of the 50s as well.
People
I grew up with, because I'm an old guy.
No, you're not.
Well, depends.
You sound very young.
Chronologically, I'm older than I appear to be.
Well, I saw your picture on your biography. You're a very handsome man.
Well, thank you very much. You had to say that, though.
No, I didn't.
And you're a very lovely woman.
Well, thank you.
I like the picture on the cover.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I took a chance with that because, like with Garden Party, it's very Fantasia. You know, just the whole scene. But I kind of wanted to take Garden Party from this personal experience that he had and make it, you know, like a garden party, you know, really playing into those two words. So I came up with this whole, you know, Fantasia thing. But it's funny, I'll go and I'll meet people. For example, I just did a radio tour, and I met everybody, and they were like, oh, my God, why didn't you just do, like, a picture of just your face? Or, you know, and I said, well, you know, it's kind of hard to respond when people say things like that. But I said, well, I didn't want to do that. I mean, it's everybody does that. I mean, if you look at Celine Dion to Janet Jackson to everybody, you know, they have just a picture of their face. And I said, you know, I wanted it to be so much more than that. But
it was a little risky,
I have to say. It was kind of risky.
You have a nice face, but you know that's. But you're right, though. You gotta go by more than that.
You really do. I mean, I didn't want, you know, people to just see it and say, oh, you know, she's a nice-looking person, let me do this or that. Or I just really didn't want that. You know, I wanted it to be an embodiment of work. I wanted it to be the artwork. I mean, I take the whole album extremely seriously, you know, and I was involved with every phase and aspect of this album, you know, so...
Now, did you actually do the drawings on the...
No, on the second album, I hired a wonderful graphic designer, Janet Joquim. She was really fantastic. And I also had outside photographers who did a lot of the pictures, a lot of the scenes that you see inside. The first album that I did, Come Follow Me, I do have my paintings sprinkled in throughout that album.
I mean, you have I have in my hand.
Yeah.
They sent me a picture of four of the paintings you did.
Yeah.
And they're flowery.
So oh, okay. You have the press kit.
Yeah.
Okay.
But why not have taken one of your flowery photos or your pictures and used that for the cover with a garden party? It made more sense to me.
Yeah, I certainly could have. I guess I just didn't want to be too egomaniacal.
Well, that's the business, you know? It's all about Michelle Marie.
I know. I just wanted to let some other artists have a chance. You know, I don't know, because it's like me.
You're painting pictures here on this CD using instruments like your lovely voice and your lyrics and your music. So
right.
Why not allow your artistic, you know, work with the palette knife also be seen?
Yeah, I probably should have done it. But,
I think so. I think you missed an opportunity to promote
your
own artwork.
I remember it was a very conscious decision, though, because when I was meeting with people and doing this, I said, you know, I'd like to give some other artists an opportunity to be a part of this and give them some work. So it was a conscious decision to do it.
You know,
and in my first album, I used my paintings, too. You have my first album, right?
I do not know. They're supposed to send it to me. I did not get it.
Oh, okay. Oh, you should have it.
I would have listened to it and memorized it as I did the second one.
Yeah.
Because I really like the second one. You know, there's a lot of influences in it. You know, if someone says to me, hey, Mark, what does Michelle Marie sound like? I can't tell you. A little Natalie Merchant, maybe a little this, a little that.
Yeah, a lot of people
There's a mixture of all different types of voices, and you sound different on each of the tracks, which I think is important as well.
Yeah.
But I like this CD a lot.
Well, thank you.
I see potential for mega sales.
Oh,
so my feeling is, as a PR person and a person who's been on radio for a lot of years, is that I would have put my artistic work on this and then waited for the first million or two to be sold. Then you could have opened up one of your art colonies for all these starving artists and given them a chance that way.
Right.
But,
well.
You know. But, you know, hey, it's all under the bridge. For the third album, maybe you can do that.
The third album, perhaps I could do
now,
that.
Now, Raison d'Etre Records, which I think it's a great that you're doing it on your own.
Right.
I always think that's really important. And, you know, as I mentioned, I've had Arnie on. I've had a lot of artists on who've been on major labels and left them to start their own stuff. Leon Rimes was on a few weeks ago, and we talked to him about that. And one of the things that I think is real important is that you have control. But there's two elements that you need to have, and one is PR, so people can actually know it's there.
Exactly.
And two is distribution. And it seems like you have both of those elements.
I
right
do.
Now.
You know, I have a wonderful PR firm. I hired Rubenstein Public Relations, and they're really fantastic. In fact, I was just in Star Magazine.
Really?
You know, the rag.
Now, what did the rag have to say about you, Michelle?
I'm sorry?
What did the rag say about you?
It's very positive. I just had a charity event. I started a nonprofit organization called Blankets for Warmth last year, and it's an organization where we collect and distribute blankets to the homeless on the streets of Manhattan. And last year, it was basically just myself and a few other people, I went out and personally bought about 50 blankets and went to various places like Grand Central Station and Penn Station and Central Park and distributed these blankets. And when I hired this PR firm this year to promote my album, I said, you know, God, what a great opportunity to get some exposure for my nonprofit organization. So what I did is I asked Joey Fatone of NSYNC to be my special guest, and we had it at this club called Suede in the city, and it was phenomenal. We had over 200 people attend. Everybody brought a blanket, and Tracy Morgan from Saturday Night Live was there. Tara Reid was there. We just had a lot of people who came out and supported the cause. And the press that was generated from the event was just overwhelming and quite substantial. So we're so excited. And I'm really excited because this Thursday evening, we're going out with the Coalition for the Homeless. I actually partnered with them this year, Coalition for the Homeless.
Now, which coalition is that? There's a lot of Coalition for the Homeless.
This is the Coalition for the Homeless. It's the name, and they're out of Washington, and have a sister branch in New York.
Because there's local ones out here in Boston as well.
Oh, it's all part of the main head, which is in Washington. That's exactly what it is. They have branches, like, all over, but the main office is in Washington. But, Mark, they have these food vans that go out, like, twice a week, and they feed, like, 800 people. It's amazing. So I'm going out with them Thursday evening, and I'm taking all my blankets. So not only will the homeless have a hot meal, they'll now have a warm blanket. So I'm just really, really, really excited, and we're getting a lot of press coverage for that on Thursday evening. But back to the star, there's a picture of me and Joey Fatone at the event, Blankets for Warmth.
Cool.
So that was
you and Joey a number? Or a?
No, we're just friends.
Oh. So what is the social life like for Michelle Marie? You must be like in everybody wants Michelle Marie.
Yeah, I'm very, very busy right now.
I would assume.
You know, it's.
Are you married or happy?
No, I'm very happy and I'm not married.
Yeah, well, that's hand in hand. Hand in hand. So,
I don't know if they go hand in hand
they
or
really
it just
do.
Worked out that way.
They
I'm
really
not quite
do.
Sure.
They really do go hand in hand.
That's what I hear.
You want to do your own thing.
That's what I hear. You know,
you
there's
single.
Only so many hours in the end of the day, and you can only do so much. And like anything, you know, a relationship or marriage, it's like a business. You know, you have to devote time to it and energy to make it successful. And, you know, I see so many people who are involved, and they never see their spouse or significant other. And it's my philosophy is, why bother? I mean, why... I don't know. I'm not quite sure, you know, if it's not something that, you know, you're involved in on a serious level. I'm not quite sure why you would waste the time doing it. But that's...
Well, you're not in Hollywood yet. That's why. When you're in there, you'll figure it out.
I don't know.
Go to Hollywood. You'll be married in a week, you know, and then
I'm
you'll be...
I'm a purist when it comes to the arts. You know, I live and breathe and sleep the arts on many different levels. And I just... That's kind of my religion and my relationship and my whole reason for being. No pun intended, with raison d'etre.
Well, I'm sure that's where the name came from.
Yeah, it really did. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was thinking about a name for the label, I said to myself, you know, I wanted something to encompass everything that I am, you know, and everything that I am is basically, or stems from, you know, the arts. So, raison d'etre, the reason for being, art is the reason for being, for me. So that's why I came up with the name.
Now, I'm going to post your website, michellemariemusic.com. I'll link to it next to the interview.
Fantastic.
At pmpnetwork.com, and you're welcome to put pmpnetwork.com's link on your site.
Oh, great, I would love to.
So people can hear that interview.
Yeah, definitely, I would love to.
Which would be kind of fun, so people can get to know you a little bit.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I understand you're going to come to our studio with a blanket and huddle under it with me?
I would love to.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I would absolutely
And then we'll donate the blanket
to
you. We can both sign the blanket and then give it to the homeless.
Well, are you ever in New York?
Let me check. Not usually, no.
No.
I used to go there all the time. Years ago, I dated a soap star.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I won't say who she is because she's married now.
Okay.
But So I used to go to New York, and then a penthouse pet from out there, too.
Okay.
That was a long time ago.
Right.
Many moons ago. So I don't get to New York too much anymore.
Yeah. Well, you're in a great place because you're
like 30
Boston.
Minutes. Boston's great.
30 minutes outside of Boston, right?
We're studios right outside of Boston. We're 20 minutes south.
There's a wonderful museum there, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately,
isn't it fantastic?
They were robbed a while back.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, big.
The two
big
men
robbery.
Posed as policemen.
Yeah, and they went in there and they cleaned the place
up. That
must
have been an inside job, wouldn't you think?
I would think, but you know, I'm not a detective, although I played one on TV. But
right.
Wouldn't you think?
I mean, I know about that situation,
and
I mean,
yeah,
I read about
so.
It, and
yeah.
I remember thinking that. That must be an inside job to have those two policemen to walk in.
It was a little weird, and
the works were never found.
No, they were never found. Now, there's a guy that lives out here. There's a guy that lives out in the Boston area who's in jail now. His name is Miles Connors.
Right.
And he was one of the big experts in art, in fencing art. And many people think he had something to do with it. And then he said he was going to reveal who took these things and
really?
And if he got free. And it turned out I don't think he really knew about it, but. Yeah, one of these days they will find out who did it.
Wow, that's amazing. And one of the paintings they took was Vermeer's, The Concert. And I remember that she purchased that at a Paris auction. Like, that was one of the first pieces that she bought.
Hmm.
I remember when I went to this museum, they had three words underneath it. And it was inspiration, imagination, and innovation. And I remember that was so significant to me because if you think about it, that should be the stimulus for everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Inspiration, imagination, and innovation.
I think
it's a great place. It's a wonderful museum.
Good words to live by, too.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that I wanted to know about you because I don't know you yet. I'd like to. But I like your music, and you seem like a nice person. I like your painting as well.
Oh, thank you.
It says on your fact sheet that you're an actor. Are you doing, like, stage work? Or
well,
what type of
at
stuff?
The moment, I'm really not doing anything. You know, I trained extensively years ago. I trained with Lee Strasberg and Uta Hagen and Stella Adler and the Actors Conservatory. And I did a few things, but then my art career just took off at this incredible pace. So I kind of had to abandon that. But now that my music is doing so well, I'm having all these opportunities come up with acting. It's so funny how it just...
It's all integrated.
Life is a circle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a wonderful circle. And so I am having some opportunities come up now. And quite frankly, I would love to get back into it. I would like to get into film. You know, I think that would be an area that would be really good for me.
Why don't you write your own screenplay and use
I
your own music?
I am writing a screenplay.
Yeah, and use your own music with it.
I am writing a screenplay.
There you go.
Right now with a friend of mine, we're almost finished, actually, with it. And I was talking to my publicist the other day, and I was telling him about it. And he was like, oh, my God, this would be so fantastic. This would be so incredible. You'd be great at this. We
publicists love that stuff.
Yeah, they really do. And I have a great publicist. I mean, I'm really happy with... who I have. You know, I think it's important. It's who you know on the way up. It's not who you know once you get at the top.
Because that's
once
true.
You're at the top, who can you trust?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the feelings aren't legitimate. They're not real. I don't feel they are.
Well, I lived in L.A., so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know, I went out to L.A. so many times, and I tried to find some culture there that I could cling on to. At the time, I was very involved in painting and the ballet and the opera. And I just couldn't find it.
It's
and I'm
too
not
artificial.
Putting down LA at
it's all.
All
plastic and artificial out there. I just,
yeah, I'm not putting it down, but the type of people that I encountered were just extremely nice and down to earth, but they just really lacked that cultural edge that New York provides. And you have to remember, I lived in Paris too. And even in France, with all of its wonderful history, it doesn't have the energy and the stimulus that New York has. I really believe New York is the metropolis for everything, whether it's finance, the arts, medicine, whatever your field of expertise is, it really... To be the best, I think it's in New York. I really believe that with everything.
Now you're talking to a Boston guy, so we have a rivalry with New York. So.
Yeah.
And everything, whether it's sports or medicine, we have rivalries there. So.
I'm sure. I love Boston. Though. Boston's fantastic.
Well, the next time you're in Boston, I will take you to lunch.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, what's not to love about Boston? I mean, it's just it's fantastic. Mm. And MoCA, they have the MoCA Museum.
And what's not to love about Michelle Marie? Michelle Marie's Garden Party CD is available right now, and you can pick it up at www.michellemariemusic.com. And it was a pleasure talking to you, and I hope we speak again sometime.
Oh, it was a lot talking to you. Thank you so very much for having me on your show.
And if you come into Boston, make sure you tell me.
I promise you, you'll be the first to know.
I'll be the first to know?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll call you before I come.
Do you have a dog?
I do.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have a Chow Chow.
I have a dog named Lucy.
I have a dog named Ashley.
Our dog is a, what is Lucy? She's a Lazapu.
Okay, so that's a poodle and a...
Lhasa Apso.
I bet she's darling.
She's a cute little doggy.
Oh, I bet she's darling.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Ashley is a big chow. In fact, on my album, Garden Party, I wrote a song about Ashley.
You did?
It's called Ashley.
It's about your dog.
It's about my dog. People think it's about this probably lesbian love affair.
that could be fun, too, but...
It's not. It's about my dog. And the name of it's called Ashley.
I'm glad we straightened that out before the word came. And there's also a great song for the kids out there. It's called Hey Willy Wonka. So all the folks out there have seen the Willy Wonka movie. It's a great song.
Yeah, it was on last night.
Well, I actually had the person, what was his name, Mel Stewart or something?
Right?
The man who directed the film.
Oh, right.
Wrote a book about it. And I had him on a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a great movie. I love that movie.
I bet he's a fascinating person.
He's a very interesting guy.
He's probably incredibly imaginative.
Well, you should read that book. If you like the movie, there's 100-something pictures of it, of Willy Wonka from the back of the scenes, you know, back scenes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, I don't remember the name of the book, but I think it's
called... It's my all-time favorite movie.
But I think it's called The Making of Willy Wonka or something like that. It's a great movie.
You know, they don't make movies like that anymore. I mean, I'm not quite sure, because I think they would probably do well.
They would. But you know, if you want to know about that, just go to pmpnetwork.com and go to Live Channel 2, and you'll find the interview there.
Well, I'll totally go there. I mean, I would absolutely love to.
Well, you're
going to
be there, so you have to go down there anyway.
Right.
You know? But it's a pleasure meeting you, and I hope we talk again.
Thank you so much, Mark. Let's stay in touch, really.
All right. You stay in touch, so we'll stay in touch.
I'll call you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.